This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Players Championship. Joining me to break it all down, there he is. It's Kyle Porter. KP, did you have a nice day?
I had a great day. I love the Players Championship. I got to say, Rick, I think this came through on our Tuesday pod. I was not enthusiastic about this week. It felt kind of just muted. And, you know, we've talked about it a ton with Rom and everybody gone. I thought Thursday was awesome. I thought it was so good. It was so fun. You got a great board, and we got some top 10 player controversy too. It was just chef's kiss all the way around.
Top 10 controversy indeed. And it started early on Thursday morning, my time, 5:35 AM. That's when the Rory McIlroy group went out, and it was on fire from the start. Rory McIlroy makes birdies on 10, 11, and 12, his first three holes. He makes a birdie on 14. KP, he has played his first eight holes in 6 under, starting on the back. And I'm doing the math. Okay, what does he have to do to get out in 29? What if he shoots an opening round 30? You know, we are immediately in this championship, just in our Rory feels.
Yeah, he obviously looked very good. So two things that I noticed, he was working driver both ways, it was like easy. And then he worked it a little bit too much both ways. But I don't know that I feel this is completely anecdotal. It's not grounded in anything, but I feel like a lot of times he will have it going one way and just kind of stick with that. I think it's a little rarer for him to do the JT where he's going, he has it like, not that he can't go both ways, but to have it really going both ways, it like flawlessly, like he did today was, and the just the different shot. I mean, the drive he had on 16 was a joke. I mean, it was 330 carry, 150 feet in the air. But then it was the iron play too. I mean, just the way he hit his irons compared to last week was like, It was extra. I mean, he was dialed. It was unbelievable stuff.
He said after his round, he said, and I quote, "I don't know what the strokes gained approach numbers look like, but that was probably one of my best rounds in a while."
So Rick,
I looked it up. That's his best approach round since the 2022 Canadian Open round 4. That was a win.
That was the Greg Norman one.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, and I think you get a little bit used to him, you know, hitting these great drives and then, you know, hooking the approach or having the distance controls bad or whatever. And he looked, honestly, like his approach shots looked Scheffler-like in terms of distance control and just the way he was. He didn't hit everything perfectly, but the way he was controlling the ball was, it looked really, really impressive.
Two blemishes, a bogey that he made on 18 his ninth hole of the day after hitting one left into the water off the tee. He would bounce back with birdies on 2, 4, and 6. And then the most talked about hole of the day, number 7, his 16th hole of the day, driver left into the water off the tee that sparked an 8+ minute conversation between Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, and Jordan Spieth trying to determine the correct spot for Rory to take this drop. And to put it lightly, KP, I'm not sure they were on the same page about it.
Is that how you would frame it?
Yeah. Just a little friendly discussion between three pros.
That's one way to say it for sure. Well, can we go back to 18 first?
Sure.
Because 18, he hits this sort of drawing draw. I mean, it was a drawing draw into the water. And I thought the drop he took a drop to 293 out. And 18's weird. It's very difficult, especially if you're hitting a draw. It's different if you're hitting a fade because you just started out over the water. But if you're hitting a draw, it gets really weird. So it's very difficult to figure out where to drive. He dropped 293 away. I thought in the moment, I was like, yeah, it seems reasonable. There seemed to be an extraordinary amount of conversation about it compared to a normal drop.
So
did you think that?
Yeah, I thought in the moment, I didn't think it was a great drop in the moment, because I thought he hit it like 200 yards. It was a really bad shot. It was a very bad shot.
You thought the whole shot only trap.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I thought that he took. I did not think it went as far as the drop was. But then I went back and watched, and then you sent me the photo with a little red X. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of pretty clear that's where his ball crossed, because the bulkhead kind of is lower in that area.
Yeah. So
a very easy visual to say, okay, yeah, no, it does look like he dropped it in the right spot. But they spent a ton of time on the tee deciding, like just staring out there, hey, well, where did it cross? Should I re-hit? All that fun stuff.
Yeah, Spieth was getting a little existential on it and like hollering, not hollering, but he was doing Spieth things. And it's so hard. Like, it's hard for them to tell. And you and I are trying to do like piece together shot link and TV and like all this stuff. I thought it was like, and he kind of dropped where he said, he's like, I think it was between the birds and the red stake. And that's basically where he dropped it, between the birds and the red stake. It was, I think, 160 out. So 160 away from the tee is where he dropped, which I think watching it again, that seems a little far for where I thought the ball started drawing. But then when you look at it's impossible to tell on TV. So I don't want to get into like, okay, it was 10 yards, whatever. The point, I think, is that there seemed to be a little bit of consternation within the group about that whole thing. That wasn't a big deal, but also was a little abnormal from what you normally see on the PGA Tour.
That was the seed. And the seed grew into a beautiful flower on number 7. And Rory again hit one left. Now, this conversation was not about whether his ball covered the water. It did. We saw it bounce.
Okay.
Television.
Hold that thought. Keep going.
The real dilemma is whether the ball bounced above the red line, meaning it carried the red line and he could drop on the opposite side of the red line, or if it bounced on land and did not cover the red line, which means what? He'd have to go all the way back. It did not cover the hazard.
So this one I've gone back and forth on, and this one's harder to, well, they're both very difficult to tell. This one's weird because I don't totally know the angle of, like, the angle we have is from the side. So it's really bad in terms of, he said it, I think everybody said it was drawing into the water, right? So I just don't know the angle of the tee shot into that bunker and then into the water. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like I can't tell if it's like in or out, or like it's a straight line. Like that to me is weird. And I mean, where do we even want to start with this? Because
I'll tell you what. So it looked like it was going to be a pretty standard drop.
I thought it would, I actually thought the ball was in the bunker after, like, because it bounced and you're like, oh, that looked like it kind of hopped up a little and then died down.
Yeah. Now, so Rory's already got what he thinks is his ball in play. And that's when Victor kind of walks over and is like,
did his little Victor thing.
His little, are we all good with that? Are we all good with that spot? I don't know. I'm just asking questions. Are we good with that spot? And that's when Speed, and this is what I think kind of escalated the situation.
Yeah. Well, leave it to Speed.
He comes flying over.
Yeah.
Like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
Claiming these 100 guys over here saw everything perfectly. I don't want to, you know, he goes, I don't want to be hypocritical, but going back to 18, I mean, he is just full on running the show here. It was interesting.
We were texting about this. He was clearly still perturbed about 18.
Yes.
And him and Harry were not, I don't think they were on the same page. No. I kind of went back and forth on this. At first I thought it was kind of a weird drop. And then I was like, oh, it was fine. But then they just did this thing on golf right before we came on. I was trying to finish up my article and they've got Johnson Wagner throwing golf balls into the side of a hill on Golf Joe. The tournament's still going on. There's guys on 18. They're throwing ball. It's like the Zapruder film. Somebody tweeted at me and said, is there a second hitter on the hill? So they're throwing balls in the side of the hill. And actually the one he threw below the line most resembled what the video showed.
Yes.
Did you see this?
I did. And I was, because I saw it and I laughed because they were, the experiment he was trying to run is you're not going to be able to see this golf ball.
It did not go like that.
And you could see the golf ball. But I do not necessarily want to put a lot of credence in Johnson Wagner trying to throw the ball as hard as a golf ball would land from 300 yards away.
He looked like he was trying to hit 90 on the gun, like just firing rockets.
One bounced like 15 feet in the air.
Yes. So I guess my thing with this is, like you said, I think this is what Rory was getting at, is like, listen, even if it didn't land above the line, it still covered land because it bounced. It literally bounced. We know it bounced. But here's the counter to that. If you hit a fade in, and this is where I don't understand, like I can't tell the line. If you hit a fade there, it could bounce and never cover if it's underneath the line, right? It depends on if it's drawing or fading. Now, his is naturally drawing and he said it was drawing. So I think it's very difficult to presume that it would draw, or that the laws of physics would allow it to draw and not cover land, but still land underneath the red line. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I believe my hunch is that the ball carried the line. If you look at the view from behind, that red line is pretty close to the water, like you said about it drawing, and it's a pretty steep, like Rory is, like, I don't know how, although the Johnson Wagner thing does kind of put a little seed in my mind.
I know.
Stance was, how could we see it from the other side of the fairway if it bounced below the red line?
I hope they put that clip on social. It's incredible. But all that to say, like Rory went further, and this is why Victor was mad. He went further back and he was like, well, I'm just going to be concerned. And this is where I think he is right. He was going further back because he was saying, even if it wasn't above the red line, we know it drew into the water. So we know it covered above the red line. I'm going to go further back because I'm not positive it was above the red line. So I just want to make sure. And he used the term split the difference. And Victor was not down with that. And I understand why. I don't know what he meant by that. I think he was basically saying, like, I'm pretty sure it was above the line, but because I'm not positive, I'm going to drop here. But I agree. The term split the difference does not sound great.
Split the difference or compromise, which is what Daniel Berger said that they were going to do. Right. I don't like that, because it only means the only thing it ensures is that you're not taking the correct drop, right? If A happened and it carried, Rory should drop where he was or where he thought it was. If it didn't, then go back to the tee. Those are the only two options. Taking a compromise in the middle is definitely not getting it right.
It's just so hard, because it's like, if it's a straight line if the red line is a straight line down the tee box, you can't hit a draw and have it land on land, whether it's below or above the red line, and not have, like, it would have to be like a 5-inch draw for it to not have crossed above the red line. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I do think that this only got as big as it did, where Spieth comes running over, is because I think that Spieth thinks that on both of the drops, Rory got the benefit of the doubt and the best of it.
Well, but was Spieth even making sense?
Does he ever?
Well, no, I don't. There was a great article in GQ about Scottie Scheffler on Wednesday. And he was talking about how Tony Romo and Spieth back at home when they're playing, they just sit there and talk about the golf swing for hours. And you're like, that sounds psychotic. Like, that sounds sociopathic. But the way he was framing everything was like, I wasn't even understanding it. And I don't think Rory and Harry really were either, because he was yelling about the TV people. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, well, it's not with their cameras, it's with they saw it with their eyeballs or something like that. And you're like, well,
my hunch is that Spieth didn't like the drop on 18. And now he was trying to get like a gotcha moment. Well, those guys said it definitely didn't cross, but I don't know, man, you do your thing. You do your thing.
It felt like he was popping him because of 18 a little bit. I don't know though. Like, it's so hard for us to tell it's hard to tell when you're out there, much less when you have a side angle on TV. I think Rory, as with almost every top player, like, gets a ton of benefit of the doubt, because I mean, we're talking about a guy that at the PGA Championship one year once, like, took a drop because his ball got stepped on or moved or something. And he was sitting up and he's like, yeah, I don't think that's how it was sitting. I'm going to push it down and hit like, it's not like somebody that is been known to like skirt the rules. Right.
Yeah. He gets the benefit of the doubt, and he got it twice today. And I think that in the heat of the moment, as Jordan's playing out of the pine straw often, got a chance to pop him and he took it. That's the way that I don't really think it's much more than that, honestly.
Maybe we can pull up the tweet I just put out with the photo of Johnson Wagner. That's gonna be whatever happens the rest of the week. My lasting image of this tournament is Johnson Wagner throwing 85 into the side of the hill on 7.
He's like, no, I'm gonna throw this one below the red line, and I don't think you're gonna see it on TV.
Exactly how it was.
And then he's like, back to you guys.
And they agreed. They're like, oh, it looks like the middle one. And you're like, nope, it did not. Look at this. This is the tournament's going, like, taking place right now.
All right. The tournament is taking place. We got a lot else to talk about, because we have three guys at the top of the board. We are going to continue this conversation and get you up to date on everything that happened in round one of the Players Championship. But we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. Okay, KP, it's not just Rory McIlroy at the top of the board. These two other 65s were shot by Xander Schauffele and Wyndham Clark. So we've got a pretty big trio at the top here. Xander went out in the morning wave. He was bogey-free. Wyndham Clark went out in the afternoon and got hot late with birdies on three of his last four. We've got a trio at the top with a lot of firepower.
We do. I'm sorry I'm laughing. Smiley just responded and said he was going to have to ice Johnson Wagner's shoulder tonight. Somebody responded and said, does this even count if Hovland's not out there being the umpire?
That's true.
It's so funny to me. I don't know why. The top of the board is sweet. Who do you think Jay Monahan's rooting for after Rory rode for him and Xander tried to throw him under the bus?
Yeah, I can.
Xander was interesting on Thursday because, you know, he's somebody that is, I think of as being fairly like straightforward, he's not all over the place, and he was everywhere, at least on his back nine, the front nine on the course on Thursday. He was kind of all over the planet. But he's been playing good golf. I mean, I think it's gotten a little obfuscated because he hasn't won. He hasn't really, really contended, but he's got a bunch of top tens. I think we can talk about this with him and Wyndham. I think he could make the claim to being kind of the second best guy in the world right now.
Well, he's certainly one of the most consistent, and the Wyndham's kind of been the opposite, right? A little more inconsistent, but the good stuff has been at the biggest events. He's got three wins in majors and or signature events. And when he is on, he is really fun to watch and really impressive.
Yeah. And I think the thing that gets a little lost with him is his swing speed is like extraordinary.
He's very strong.
I mean, I don't know why it doesn't look crazy, but it's like 185 and you're like, oh, like when JT swings it 185, you know, he swung at 185, and Wyndham is like, it's like an easy 185. He's super impressive. And, you know, it feels a little US, 2023 US Open-y with him and Rory up there. It's a very fun leaderboard. We haven't even gotten to the rest of the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty Scheffler lurking in T6, along with Ludvig Åberg and Scotty. KP, this was fun because he misses a very short putt for par on number one.
Yep.
And makes bogey immediately out of the gate on a golf course that's playing pretty easy, fairly receptive, low scores are going out there, and he gets it right back and two more by birdieing his next three holes. He gets it in at 67, 5 under. He did not, he looked, the putter did not look clunky at all the rest of the way. It was a little false alarm out of the gate.
He just completely erases it immediately, though. The putter looks kind of silky.
I cannot imagine. There is just no scenario in the world I can't imagine why they didn't like why they didn't do this earlier.
Well, I think I don't. It was really interesting to hear him talk on. People think that he's boring and whatever. Like his press conferences are really fascinating to listen to because he's very intelligent, but also like you can almost see him trying to balance his intelligence with like the Brooks Koepka, like I don't really care type thing. And I think Brooks is like sort of naturally built that way and Scotty has to work for it a little bit, but he's kind of gotten to that caring the right amount sort of attitude. And I think that's so important to winning big time events. And I think, you know, he talked about this on whenever it was Tuesday, moving away from lining it up on the, like on the line and moving to just like putting, you can literally see the, like how big of a difference that is.
The line locks you into something. It's like, okay, now this is the path that I have chosen. And now I have to get my putter to roll that end over end. And it puts a lot more pressure on if your stroke is not perfect, because you're going to get instant feedback and everybody's going to know whether you hit this well or not. When you can just lay that mallet down,
yeah,
split with no regard for perfection, it's very liberating.
Well, I think this is maybe too deep in the weeds. I think his theory on the line is like, I'm super process oriented. I only care about process. So if my process with the line is good, then I don't care about anything else. But he's the number one player in the world. I'm an idiot podcaster. It feels like he almost went too far in that direction to where he was like thinking so much about process that he wasn't just being an athlete and trying to make putts. Rory's had this over the years where it's like, dude, just be an athlete. Like, you're the freaking best golfer of the last 20 years. Just be that person. And I think that at least from watching it, it looks more like Scotty is being that person right now than he was even like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Looks much more free. And I think that's dangerous for everybody. How about this, Josh? Throw us the odds and I can go through a couple of guys here because I think I want to see what Max Homa's at. Okay. Homa's 20-1, but the two co-favorites, Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, both 4-1. Xander Schauffele, 6.5. Wyndham Clark, 11-1. No respect.
Zero.
18-1. Fitzpatrick, who played great, 20-1. And Jason Day, 30-1. Quickly, just to close that thought on Homa, finished at 68, made a ton of birdies, held it together coming in, hit it in the water on 18, was able to escape with a bogey, gave us a little bit of a fist pump. 68 in the afternoon and finishing T13 is like, I love the way Homa's going right now.
Yeah. He finished T6 here last year too. So he's had a good run here. Yeah. I mean, he's been okay this year, right? Like he hasn't been, I can't even remember his finishes, but I don't feel like
great.
Huh?
Well, I think he was like eighth last week at Bay Hill. I think he's got, it's low key better than I think most people would believe.
Yeah, that's a little bit what it feels like. I can pull it up here.
Right here. He's gone T8 last week, T16 at Genesis. He missed the cut in Phoenix, T66 at Pebble. That was the weird week. 13th at Farmers, 14th at the Century.
Yeah, so it's okay. I think it's a little down from where, I mean, he was awesome throughout last year, but even in the fall, you're like, okay, like, He continues to improve. He won in was it South Africa, I think, in the fall.
Yep.
And you kind of thought like some of the live guys gone, he might be like a top three or four guy, and he just hasn't. He hasn't quite like he's been fine, but he hasn't quite done that. He's really interesting. We were texting about this. I'm intrigued that Wyndham was I think 35 or 40 to start the week. And now he's 11,
yeah.
Which I don't know, man. Like I don't, it's not Matthias Schwab or whatever his name is. What is his name?
This one is Matty Schmid.
Matty Schmid.
The other one is Matthias Schwab.
Okay. I thought
there's two of them.
Okay. Sorry, Maddie. He's a U.S. Open champion. What has Xander done that Wyndham hasn't done?
Yeah, that's the thing is he has proven now a couple of times that when he hits his ceiling, which is what you need to win a golf tournament, unless you're Scottie Scheffler, that he can beat all of these guys.
Well, that's the thing. Like he's a killer. I don't know if Xander is a killer.
Dude, Wyndham is kind of a killer.
He kind of is. And like, I almost feel like if these were the top five odds, Xander should be ahead of Wyndham. If they're to win, I kind of feel like Wyndham should be like, they should be switched.
Yeah. Xander gets an unreal amount of respect from sports books.
I mean, he hasn't won since summer of 22.
What was that? Travelers?
Scottish. Back to back or two out of three or something like that.
I'm interested to see, though, there will be a pretty big shakeup tomorrow, right? The afternoon guys are going to flip and go out in the morning. Like, can JT go out and shoot something really low? Can one of the guys, you know, in the afternoon, like JT, it was all over the place, but that's, you know, if he goes out and cleans up some of the big numbers and, you know, still makes eight birdies or whatever, like someone's going to make a big move tomorrow. I hope
JT was very Spieth-like today. I mean, just in the woods, then knocking down flagsticks. I mean, it was just... I think he made one par on the back or something like that. Two things real quick. And I know you got to go be on HQ, but you feeling good about your Fitzpatrick to miss the cut?
Dude. So, okay. I was looking at this. The guys that I liked this week are playing well. The guys that I hated this week are at the top of the leaderboard. So like Hoagie's there. I'm like, okay, awesome. And like Homa's playing well. And you know, all these, I'm like, this is great. And then I literally bet Matt Fitzpatrick to miss the cut. I literally bet Rory McIlroy to miss the cut.
You bet Rory to miss the cut?
Plus, like, I think I got like three something. I was like, you know, if things go sideways, like he hit two in the water today. That was the recipe. The recipe was hit a couple in the water each day, not make 10 birdies along with it.
Well, the thing about it is like he was hitting his irons. Like he looked like JT. I mean, legit, like the ball flight was so straight, so smooth, so good. And he almost like he said at some point this week, I think he said it again today. Like, hey, I worked on it for like 5 hours on Monday.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, that's. And this is not what he meant, but it was almost like, yeah, I just needed like 5 hours. I had all these Zoom calls and like, I didn't have 5 hours to give to it. And you're like, what, you know, and he actually did say, he's like, you know, when you're playing so much, it can be really hard to get in the lab and kind of, you know, work on some things because there's literally no time. You're doing pro-ams, you're doing practice, you're doing all this stuff. And so I think he said, if I hadn't shot 76 on Sunday at Bay Hill, I probably wouldn't have done the 5 hours on Monday, which led to 65, which is super like, I was like, it's such a stupid like golf thing where it's like, I was so bad that I became good like 5 days later. Like that is an idiotic sport, but I was hitting his irons. Great. What last thing before we go, what did you think about the course setup?
I thought the setup was fine, but like just soft, right? Why was it so soft?
It was soft. The broadcast on ESPN Plus in the morning, I can't remember who, one of the broadcasters was like, oh, that's a pretty big pitch mark for a championship tournament. Yeah.
Especially the morning was like, I was like, oh my God, these like the first group through, I was like, oh boy, they're going to shred this thing.
Yeah. I didn't love, some people were tweeting about this. I didn't love the, like all the sort of, skirt like grass skirts around the like 17 and 12 and
I'm okay with it. It's just a really fine, I'm okay with like a little bumper or whatever. I also don't think it's super fair for all of those balls to just roll in the water, but it was stopping all of them.
Yeah.
I'd rather a little luck that 50% of them go in.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of my point is like, yeah, it might not be fair the other way. I think as a fan, I'd probably rather err on a little harder, especially on a hole like 17. Because it felt like they erred on a little easier. 12 too. I mean, 12.
I wish they could take, just like put that skirt down later. Like what, have it for one day, because that front pin is a birdie pin. That's a big time birdie pin with the skirt.
Yeah. You're not scared of anything.
You can't take that same level of risk with a freaking gap wedge or pitching wedge, whatever these guys are hitting, if that's just shaved out.
Well, and it makes the hole, like, you have to, if it's not there, you have to control your spin, your angle. Like, you have to, it takes a lot more skill. Whereas, like, you know, I'm not saying that you and I can hit that shot, but like, we don't have, like, I can't control my spin. I'm just swinging as hard as I'm swinging whatever speed I'm swinging, and the ball spins however much it spins. I have no idea how to control it. But those guys are so good at controlling spin that I want to see stuff like that. I want to see you have to hit that backstop but not spin it too much and let it trickle down.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where they put that pin on 17 tomorrow, and we will see what happens on Friday. Probably a lot, but we'll be here after round 2, 3, and 4 to break it all down. Big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Kyle Porter. You can find him at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.